Here on the Mighty 690 KGGF on this Wednesday morning, as we regularly are joined by the K-State Extension offices. This morning, it's James Cooper and Cherry Nelson. Good morning to the two of you.
Good morning.
Welcome back in, as I haven't seen either of you in a couple of weeks. Cherry, especially, my goodness, I feel like it's been since the 4-H fair since I've seen you.
I think it has been. It's been a while
since. It has. And with that, actually, we'll get into a little bit of 4-H news here in just a little bit. But right now, I kind of wanted to highlight something that's going on today with your guys' Extension offices and such. So just, we've talked about it much, and in fact, I think I did a story on it a few weeks ago, but for the information and details and such like that for the listeners, James, the coyote class tonight.
Yeah, so tonight we have a meeting on coyote management, and this will be in Girard at the Girard High School cafeteria, and it starts at 6:30, it'll go till 8:30. It will have Charlie Lee, he's the wildlife specialist at K-State, and so he'll be coming in and talking about all the different aspects when it comes to, almost like the life cycle of coyotes. And it's really interesting stuff. Coyotes, it's not what you think, and it's kind of fun to talk about it.
I was surprised. I went to that meeting last year, and it was really good.
Well, yeah, and, when you break it down like that, you kind of further understand where they're going to be, when they're going to be, and the kind of the timing, and then you can manage that and go around it because, I've never had animals and such, but Colorado had plenty of coyotes, and I know they're, coming up in the backyard, and they're just a problem maker. That's really all they are, and to know how to manage them is interesting. So get up at Girard, and when's it, what time is it at?
It's at 6:30.
6:30,
good stuff. No, it's at 6 o'clock.
Sorry. 6 o'clock, good Six. Stuff. 6 o'clock, good stuff. And any more information, what's a good phone number that they can call? Probably just the Altamont office or...
Well, any of the Extension offices in the Wildcat District will work, but 620-331-2690.
Perfect. And again, that is tonight. So anybody interested out there, just go ahead and give them a call for more information or head on up and attend. Is it? Is there a charge that comes with it?
No, it's free.
It's free? Okay, it's cool. Meeting. Good stuff. Free charge there. I'm sure it's a useful tool to get that information. So, well, very cool. With that as well, we'll kind of segue into another class at you guys, but we got some time to prepare for this one. It looks like it's coming up on the 17th of December, and it's agronomy night. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so agronomy night has been going on for a long time. It's a yearly event. It's always been a good show. Lots of producers come to this because they're used to coming to this. This year is going to be no different, I hope. We'll have Dr. Roger McGowan coming back. He's a very good speaker. People love to hear from him. And he'll be speaking on agricultural fence and lease laws. And then we'll also have Dr. Doug Jardine coming in. And he's a plant pathologist at K-State, coming in talking about soybean diseases and some of the stuff we've been seeing in the area. So, that's on December 17th. It'll be in the Independence Community College, the West Campus. It's at 5:30 is when we start. And so we have lots of sponsors. It's free event. We'll have door prizes and everything. So
good stuff. Free of charge and everything. Is there like a registration due to the amount of seats, or is it just kind of come one, come all?
Kind of a registration, so that way I know how much food to order kind of thing. With an event like this, it's a lot of people, so it's a lot of things to coordinate. The number there for the Montgomery office, 620-331-2690. The same number for the coyote management meeting. So
good stuff. And you had mentioned some sponsors as well. Does that mean the meal is paid for, or does
everything's paid for?
How about that? Gotta like it. No reason not to. And again, some great speakers. You always gotta love. I always like the classes the courses that you guys put on, because you bring in professionals. And coming from the college that I went to, that's the only way that I went, and it helped me out beyond whatever I could look back to. Is just having somebody that was in the business or somebody that's been doing it for 20 years and to have that bit of advice. And they may not have helped me today, but that information is going to help me some bit down the line. So get involved with that. And we mentioned it a little bit, the 4-H fair as well as that. It looks like Cherry, before I do want to dig into that ag law here in a little bit, and I think that we can get some callers on the line maybe with some questions as well, because that might be something, especially this time of the year, that a lot of people may have questions with. So, Cherry, real quick, though, Enrollment for 4-H is going on right now.
Yeah, if you haven't enrolled for 4-H yet, you can do that. The age requirement, you must be 7 before January 1st, and can't be 19 before January 1st. So it's a wide range of age. If you are interested in joining or haven't rejoined yet, be sure and get on and do that. You can go to our website and do that, or 4-H.org, Kansas4-H.org, and click on the enroll button, and it'll get you fixed up so you can get started getting enrolled. So there is a program fee, a $15 program fee that helps cover just different costs for programming and things like that. But
yeah, and Cherry, you know, for someone that's been involved with 4-H for a very long time, and for me that's observed it for just a little bit here this year, there's a lot to do. And you had mentioned there's a, you know, a wide range of ages that can be involved and such like that. So to our listeners out there that may be a little, just a little bit uninformed about it, what are some of the things that can you can do as maybe an 8-year-old compared to the 18-year-olds?
You know, the projects are unlimited, really. I mean, as far as your imagination will take you. I think a lot of our 8-year-olds enjoy doing the arts and crafts projects. Several of them will do foods. They can start learning how to cook and doing those type of things. Clothing, we've got kids that'll sew. We've got kids that'll take pictures. We've got kids that'll do woodworking. You know, maybe you have a parent or a grandparent that's really good with their hands and like to do woodworking. You know, it's the possibilities are unlimited. Some of the newer projects that a lot of people don't think about, we have a space tech project that includes rockets, astronomy, robotics, so there's all kinds of things, you know, for those kids that really like to get in and do those things and participate and just learn something new. So
certainly, yeah. Now with any, you know, group or event, there's always traveling, there's always events, and there's always usually a cost. What's normally kind of you know, rough estimate of getting your kid in involved in 4-H?
Again, it depends on what projects you're interested in. If you're going to do the big livestock projects, those. If you're just doing arts and crafts, that, you know, it depends on what you want to make. I mean, if we've got kids that do some recycle projects in those projects, and they're phenomenal, and so you have very little cost involved with those. Other, you know, you can go all out too and spend hundreds of dollars. So it just kind of depends on what your family situation is and what you're wanting to accomplish as far as what the expenses are and things like that. So.
Yeah, and that's a good tool to learn as well as to kind of not, well, with that as well, the ones that maybe use a recycle project is to use the items that you have. Mm-hmm, you know, I used to do that all the time as a kid. I'd go out to my mom's garage and just find something to put together. It didn't look great, but it worked, you know, it worked.
It did the job. We had a lot of kids this past year at the fair did recycled clothing projects. Maybe they had some jeans that got too short, so they cut them off and made shorts, or they made some skirts or whatever. We had several that made T-shirts, skirts, and things like that. So we had a lot of recycle projects this past year. So yeah,
possibilities are endless with that.
Very
now,
much so.
You had mentioned something as well that the kiddos is, you know, maybe get involved with next year. It looks like maybe the Citizen in Action Conference. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, the Citizenship in Action Conference, that's for kids that are 13 to 18. And it's held in Topeka. It's a conference that it's designed for kids to learn how the state legislature works. And so they'll have the opportunity to actually work on some bills, and they'll get to the process of voting on those bills and debating those bills and things like that. It's also an opportunity for the kids to meet their legislators. We'll have a banquet on the Sunday night when they go up there, and they'll be able to invite their legislators. Ours in this area are very good about coming and participating and having dinner with the kids and all those type of things. But the kids, it gives them an opportunity to kind of see how our government works, and it's very rewarding. And the kids that have participated in the past, just they love this conference. They just really enjoy it, and then they get to also tour the Capitol and some things like that. So
yeah, and again, I use myself as an example a lot in high school. I wasn't a scholar by any means. I you know, wasn't the A+ student, But at the same time, I now look and I realize how important it is to have the knowledge of what goes on within the Capitol. You don't have to know everything. I don't consider myself a politician nowadays by any means, nor would I want to. I don't think that's for me.
Yeah, I agree.
That's not for me, but it makes things a little bit clearer. You know, it kind of does that you have an understanding. You don't necessarily have to know what goes on exactly, but, you know, knowing what goes on is important, especially for your, I mean, it's an everyday livelihood. When you turn 18, things get real fast. And 25, it's the same thing. You know, all of those documents are turned over to you, and you've got to start following the state statutes and understanding kind of that. Again, it's just another thing that I believe 4-H just improves for the future, you know, and that's one
as
big
my
thing.
Daughter likes to say, she says, it taught me how to be an adult. So, you know, and adulting is not always fun, but it is important. And I think the kids, like I said, the kids that participate in that really do enjoy it. The registration is open now. You can go on to the 4-H.org, the Kansas 4-H.org website and get registered. And the cost, there is a cost. It's $175 registration. That includes your food and your hotel reservation. So that includes everything that you need. It's a dress-up affair. They have to wear suit and tie. They have to wear, you know, nice slacks or a skirt and things like that. So it's a good learning opportunity for the kids. So,
and one thing I learned in school as well, even for the ones that never really liked to dress up, being not necessarily forced into it, but you know, when I went to the state capitol or met someone like that, I almost wanted to have a collar on or wanted to have that. And it's a little nerve-wracking for someone young, but it's very cool. It's a great experience to be into.
It's fun because you watch some of these young men learn how to tie a tie. So
yeah, and you get to watch that fun process.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
To watch the struggles with that. So great stuff. The Citizenship in Action Conference coming up. When was that? It's next year. So
it's
you got
February 17th and 18th. So it's President's Day weekend. Okay. So
great stuff. Plenty of time to get with that. And again, the 4-H website is a great place to get more information.
Sure. And they can contact my office as well if they have questions. I've been to the conference with the kids several times, so it's a great one. So they can, if they have questions, they can contact me at 620-378-2167.
Awesome. Again, speaking with Cherry Nelson and James Cooper this morning, agents with the K-State Extension offices here. Now, James, I wanted to get into this whole ag law thing with you, but we've got just a couple minutes till we head to the top of the hour. So you got 2 minutes here. Give me a brief outline of it all, and then in the 8 o'clock hour, I'll give you some questions, and we'll kind of dive into it. We'll take some calls if people have questions. But again, James, just give me kind of the outline of what we're going to be talking about here.
Yeah, so ag law, it's not as simple and straightforward as other laws. It's not the same thing as leasing your apartment. I mean, there's a lot of details and a lot of this and that. 50% of ag land is rented or crop shared in some way. So a lot of the land that we have in Southeast Kansas and the rest of Kansas is leased. All kinds of different leases, all kinds of different crops. It's a complex world, and landlords and lessees really need to know the details if they're going to navigate this stuff adequately.
Yep. So, again, having that information, being on top of it, so you don't, first of all, get robbed out of something and taken advantage of if you don't have that information. But second off, make sure that you're not screwing somebody over or doing something illegal or whatever it may be. So we'll dive into that on the other side of the break. For now, again, James Cooper, Cherry Nelson, in with us here from the K-State Extension office. We'll check with you guys here in about 10 minutes or so.
Great, thanks.
Mighty 690 KGGF.